2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, bless us that we may hear your word, that you would grant an ear to hear your word, so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us see through your word what our Lord has accomplished for us, and let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ through your word, have fellowship with him. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear, understand, and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. O Father, receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this verse, Paul tells us what is his purpose, his work as an apostle of Jesus Christ. By doing that, he is also telling us what is the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ through his church. And from that, we know then what is our work as his church. What are we doing? Well, let me read it to you once again. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Paul says first, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. He means that he is jealous for them with the jealousy of God. Now, we could see here the greatness of Paul's devotion, his zeal, his love for God's people. In Philippians, Paul says that he loves God's people with the affection of Christ Jesus. But more importantly, through Paul, in this verse, we see how much God loves us. If we read Exodus 34, verse 14, this is what we read. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. In that verse, we learn that our God's name is Jealous. Our God is Jealous God. You see, jealousy in and of itself is not sin. Because if jealousy is sin, then God is sinning. But, of course, when a sinner is jealous, there is a great likelihood that he is sinning. So we must be careful. But jealousy in and of itself is not sin because God is jealous, God. The same is true for being angry. Being angry in and of itself is not sin because God is angry. Over sin, of course. Because if we say being angry is sin, then we're saying God is sinning. I think the problem is that Christians are not angry at the things that God is angry at. I don't know, they want to show themselves as a very gentle person or something, but when God is angry at something, don't you think we should be angry too? But of course, because we're sinners, when we are angry, we will sin most likely, but when you see something that is against God out there in the world, you need to be angry. Because God is angry. But be careful. In anger, you do not sin. So, like I said so many times, the Bible is not teaching worldly morals. Because in the world, jealousy and being angry is sin for them. Automatically. But that's not what the Bible is teaching. The amazing truth is that our God is jealous for us. Now let's think about that. That He's jealous for us. When you are jealous of someone, it's because that person is so precious to you that you love that person. You know, if somebody out there that you don't care, and if that person loves some other person, you don't care. You don't get jealous. Which means if God is jealous for us, it means He loves us. It is truly amazing grace. The fact is that if there is no jealousy, then there is no true love. I mean, if your girlfriend or your wife, she doesn't get jealous if you look at other women and if you love other women, then is that love? God is jealous of us. Amazing grace indeed. But why would God be jealous for us? He is the perfect God, self-content, self-sufficient, God who does not need anything or anyone. Why would He be jealous of us? And yet, He is. The love of God toward us is so great and amazing that we will never know the full extent of His love for us. Immeasurable love of God. God is jealous of us. And when does God get jealous of us? When we follow the other man, other father. When we compromise with this world, when we sin, because we will see it later, sin is so many times expressed by God as spiritual adultery. They were playing with other men, having relationship with another man. That's how God sees it when we sin. And God is jealous. The Apostle Paul loves the church with the same jealousy, the same love. And he describes his work as follows. Our verse, second half, it says, "For I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." The word betroth, today's equivalent would be an engagement. In the Bible, when you are engaged, then it is as good as being married. And once you are engaged, then you must keep your sexual purity. This does not mean that you could be sexually active before that. Of course not. But once you are engaged, then until the consummation of marriage, you must keep your sexual purity. And at the Bible times, keeping that purity is also the responsibility of the father of the bride. See, you and I, we are, by faith, engaged to our eternal husband, Jesus Christ. Yes, there is a sense that we are already married to him spiritually, but the visible wedding of heaven has not yet occurred. And until that visible wedding, the heavenly wedding, we must keep our spiritual purity. What would you say to a woman who is engaged to a man and yet she goes out and have all these other relationships with other men? What would you say to that person? We need to understand as we live our lives here on earth that we are engaged to Christ. And until that wedding day, we cannot defile ourselves. We need to keep spiritual purity. And even non-Christian will agree with that. If they understand you are engaged to someone, of course you need to keep that purity. You need to understand what has happened to you. You are engaged to Christ. Now, until that heavenly wedding, how must you live? It's very clear. You gotta keep spiritual purity. That includes avoiding all this bodily sin too. Just because I said spiritual doesn't mean that it doesn't involve bodily sin. You and I will be presented to Christ as a pure virgin. And God uses the ministry of the church to keep you pure. Especially the ministry of the word. And I will read you many verses that will say those things. You gotta understand how precious and important the ministry of the church is. It's God's way to keep you pure until that wedding day. So that you could keep your spiritual purity. Because you are already engaged to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is your husband. The Bible can be summarized in many ways. But one way is this. It is a love story between God and His people. God is the husband and His people are His bride. From the very beginning, to sin is to reject his husband and play a harlot with this sinful world. In many places, like I said, God describes sin as the spiritual adultery. Isaiah 54 verse 5a, God says first, "For your maker is your husband." God is your husband, he says. And according to Jeremiah 31 verse 32, through the covenant that God made with the Israelites, God was their husband. So making covenant is like marriage. And God was their husband. But they have sinned against their husband, and the Bible describes their sin as an adultery. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 7, "Why should I forgive you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not gods. I supplied all their needs and yet they committed adultery and thrown to the houses of prostitutes." And I want you to realize that God is not talking about their physical prostitution. But he is describing their sin of rejecting God and disobeying God and following the sinful world.
Isaiah 57 verse 3, the Israelites are called, God actually called this. When he called Israelites, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes.
And you need to understand that you and I, we were adulterers and prostitutes before we were saved.
But I came to preach the gospel. The gospel is about God loving these filthy sinners. God loving these sinners to the end. God loves his wife who has become just like a prostitute. And to these sinners, God promised, even from the Old Testament, Isaiah 52 verse 5b, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Hosea chapter 2 verse 19 and 20, God says, I will betroth you to me forever, and I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. And through the prophet Hosea, God tells us what Jesus will do when he comes. Our eternal husband, Jesus, he came to marry his bride, us, who has become like a prostitute. He has cleansed our filth with his blood, and he has clothed us with his righteousness, the true wedding gown, true wedding dress. Thus, as a pure virgin, we marry our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our eternal husband. And this is what the Bible is all about. This reality is clearly shown in the book of Revelation when it talks about the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, it really does not matter how filthy sinner you have been. In Jesus Christ, through all that he has done and accomplished for us, we are able to stand before God as a pure virgins, holy and blameless bride of God. This is our heavenly reality, our present spiritual reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We all know the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She married 5 times. And the 6th time, she doesn't even get married. She just lives with a man. Now, try to think about this. Try to understand this lady. The very first wedding, she was probably full of hope and joy. She probably thought that, man, I'm going to have a great life together with this man. But we don't know what happened, but it failed. The husband is now gone. But second time, probably not as much hope and joy as the first time, but she was probably hopeful again. With this man, I'm going to have a great life. We don't know the reason, but he failed again. Second husband is gone also. The third time. The fourth time. And the fifth time. She probably lost all hope and all purpose of even getting married. What's it for? So when it comes to the sixth man, she doesn't even bother to marry him. She just lives with him. Probably no more hope in marriage whatsoever. But in John chapter 4, Jesus comes to her. and the meeting of Jesus and the lady. It was God's will even before the creation of the universe. Jesus comes to her, an outcast, socially and religiously outcast. Jesus comes to well to meet her. At the well, he meets her. The well. Because if you are familiar with the Old Testament, Old Testament saints often met their wives at the well. So what is the picture here? Do you see it? God comes to her to marry her. And this true husband will never disappoint her. This true husband will never forsake her. She will need no more husband whatsoever. And this true husband will love her perfectly. And she is perfectly and completely satisfied in Jesus Christ. And this is our story. God came to us to marry us forever and ever. This is what God has done for us. And now, with His jealousy and zeal, He works in us, His church, to present you and me, all of us, to Jesus Christ as a pure virgin. In heaven, we will live as a bride of Jesus Christ. We will live with Jesus Christ, our eternal husband, and we will live with Him forever and ever. Jesus is our delight and we are His delight. He loves us perfectly and we love Him perfectly. Perfect joy and perfect peace, perfect rest, perfect satisfaction. Do you see the work of God in your life right now? Even now, what is God doing in you? God is working even now so that He could present you who have been engaged to Jesus Christ already. God is working to present you to Him as a pure virgin. This is what God is doing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 50, 26 and 27 says the same thing. To make her, the church, holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Notice the phrase, cleansing and washing through the word. Yes, it is the work of the church through the teaching and preaching of the word of God to preserve His people as pure virgin. This is what church is all about. It's not to give you psychological pleasure or how to be a certain person or none of that. It's to preserve you pure so that you could be presented to Jesus Christ at that wedding day as a pure virgin. That's the purpose of my ministry. And how do I do that? God tells me. It is through the teaching and the preaching of His word. You know, when you seek humanly love from me, then I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. I don't have capacity to do that. If you seek anything other than
the teaching and the preaching of the word, you're going to disappoint in this church. And I don't just say this, this is the truth. If I'm out there sitting there, I will not come to this church other than the preaching and the teaching of His Word. But brothers and sisters, that is enough. That's God's way to keep you pure until that wedding day. It's not about human love or human fellowship. It's not of good feeling in your heart or anything like that. It's the truth. His word. Cleansing you so that you could stay clean. Paul says the same thing in Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. We proclaim Him, meaning Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, all these verses says a little bit differently, but they saying the same thing. In the verse that we read, very beginning, says what? That we'll be pure virgin. The other one, that we are cleansed, we stay clean. But here, to present you as a complete person. Now, this is the work of the church. But how does church do this? To present you as a complete man. It says, proclaiming Jesus Christ. By proclaiming Jesus Christ, the church does that. Admonishing and teaching us people, so to present every man complete in Christ. This is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you already know, the Word of God is all about Jesus Christ. So teaching and preaching the Word of God is same thing as proclaiming Jesus Christ. Preaching and teaching Word of God is same thing as proclaiming Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body, through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the church is invited by Christ to participate in His work of making us people holy and blameless and beyond reproach. To present them as a pure virgin to Jesus Christ our Lord on that wedding day. How does the church do this again? By proclaiming Jesus Christ. Because sinners, they must come to Christ. They must believe that Jesus Christ bore their sins and died on the cross for their sins. They must believe that Jesus Christ paid in full the wages of their sin. They must believe that Jesus lived the perfect righteous life for them. They must believe that their sins are cleansed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. They must believe that their sins are forgiven, and God said that He will not even remember their sins anymore. They must believe that they are clothed with the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. They must believe that they are clothed with the true wedding garment. They must believe, and the pastors must preach Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for His people. By the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, God is keeping His people pure. And this work of God is already completed, but is also being completed even now. And one day, what has already been completed will be visibly consummated when Jesus comes back.
And because we are washed with Jesus' blood and clothed with His righteousness, we cannot ultimately be defiled again. Once you are washed with His blood and you are wearing His righteousness, you are always pure. And as pure person who is engaged to Christ, for that person to play prostitute with the world is just nonsense. You cannot compromise with the world. And we are not beggars out there begging the world to give us their stuff. We are only beggars to our God. We beg God. No one else, nothing else. Because we are already engaged to Him. And once you are engaged to Christ, don't you want to keep pure until that wedding day? You ask any woman who are engaged to be married, it will be her desire to keep her pure from any sexual sins or any defilement so that she could present herself as a pure virgin to that husband. This is what the Bible is speaking of. Understand who you are and understand what you have become. Understand what has happened to you. But the good news is, no matter how much filthy sinner you are before this, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus' blood is greater than any sin out there, any sin you could even think of. It will wash that sin clean. It will cleanse it once and for all. Not only that, He gave you His righteousness. You're clothed with His righteousness. And when I see you, I see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. No matter how filthy sinner you are, you're righteous in the sight of God. This happens because you believe. And once you believe, you are engaged to Christ and you're waiting for that wedding day. And your life here on earth is that waiting period for that wedding day. Do you understand what your life is all about? It's not about success in this world. It's not about being rich. It's not about anything other than that. I mean, you know, I'm not against any of that. You could be rich, but that's not what it's about. It's about waiting for that wedding day. And that I care for so that I will stay pure, so that I could present myself. No, God will present myself as a pure virgin to that Jesus Christ, my eternal husband. This is what Christian life is all about. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand these things according to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Don't even listen to me unless I say the things the Bible says. There's no one out there, not even me. Don't trust anybody, just the Bible. But you got to understand who preaches the Bible. You need to understand what the Bible is all about. Because that's how you could keep yourself pure. Every single day you say to yourself, I need to keep myself pure for my husband, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today's worship witness this reality. One day when we see Jesus Christ when He returns, we'll stand before God as the pure virgins, holy and blameless. And let us in our lives witness that reality by continually living our lives by faith. faith in Jesus Christ, because that is the only way we are able to truly obey Him. Because we cannot, until we go to heaven, to perfectly obey Jesus Christ. Only in faith in Jesus that we are able to do so. That you believe that Jesus has done it for you. That He lived that righteous life for you. He obeyed those laws perfectly for you. Let us, by God's grace, witness the reality of God keeping us pure by obeying Him by faith in Jesus Christ. Believing and trusting Jesus Christ and His word for and focusing our eyes upon our eternal home, heaven, and our eternal husband. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let me end with this. Even now, we have come to our Lord. We have come to our eternal husband. To our God. And remember, then in Christ, we are coming to God even now as pure virgins. Spiritually. Holy and blameless. It's just a wonderful thing that we are able to worship with our children. No matter how much sound they make and how. But understand, we come to God with our children. We don't kick them out, kick our children into some other room so that whatever they're doing, but they're not worshiping. We'd rather have them here worshiping God with us, even though they might not understand what's going on or they make so much noise. Enjoy it. Because we come to God even now as we worship as a pure virgin. Oh, I know how filthy sinner I am. And man, if you know every sin that I have committed, I don't think you'll be sitting there listening to me. But I'm cleansed. I'm cleansed with the blood of Christ. And I'm wearing the true wedding gown. So that I could come to our Lord, my eternal husband, as a pure virgin. All of you, no matter how much you have sinned in the past, you are a pure virgin in Christ. So brothers and sisters in Christ, come to your eternal husband. And worship Him. Come to Jesus. He loves you. And let us love Him and remember that only way that we are able to love Him truly is to live our lives by faith in Him. Obeying Him by faith. Only by faith we are able to obey our God. And by God's grace we will be kept pure until we see our Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal husband, face to face. It's God's job to keep us pure. And He will never fail. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, honor, and power. And Father, it is just amazing grace that how we are able to come to You as a pure virgin, even though we have sinned so much, so many times in our lives. Oh, Father, but by what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us, that we are pure virgin to our Lord Jesus Christ.
and we are already engaged to Him. And as we wait for that wedding day, our job is to keep ourselves pure so that we will be presented to Him as a pure virgin on that glorious wedding day. Oh, Father, we pray that Jesus will come quickly, quickly to gather us unto His glorious house, so that we may live with Him forever and ever. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.